Here are some ideas that could be controversial. These could be unpopular ideas. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. I should mention that the Input English channel is all about comprehensible input. This channel is designed to provide that missing ingredient for people trying to learn English. You've studied the grammar. You've memorized a lot of words. You know a lot of English. You recognize a lot of English. You may be speaking English. However, you would like your comprehension to be better. You would like your pronunciation to be better. Or perhaps you would like to speak with more confidence. This is where comprehensible input fits into your needs. It's probably the missing ingredient. So today I have a discussion. You can see I'm indoors. That's because out of doors it's cold, overcast, and a little windy. The weather conditions outdoors are not conducive to recording a video in a park. So I'm indoors today. The sky is overcast. It's dark. The clouds are very thick. Some people might refer to the sky out of doors today as a sky that is battleship gray. That's an expression that is used occasionally to describe a dense overcast. My benchmark for sitting outdoors and making a video is 60 degrees Fahrenheit, give or take. If it's much colder than 60 degrees, it's a miserable process to sit still and talk to a camera for a period of time. I've tried to do that occasionally and found myself shivering. I can put on a sweater or a coat, but in general, I don't choose to do that. I have simply learned over the years that if it's colder than 60 degrees in the park, I should be indoors. Now, poor weather conditions are not an excuse for me to skip making a video. No, I am committed to continuing to produce videos for comprehensible input for you. So what should we talk about today? In my last video, I told you the story of the two authors, J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. They were friends. One of the things I didn't showcase, was that Tolkien referred to Lewis as Jack. He just called him Jack. And C.S. Lewis referred to Tolkien as Tollers. Those were the names they used for each other. Knowing that gave me a little bit of insight. Both of these great authors have passed away. They were both very successful academics at Oxford University, and they both produced very famous works of literature that we can enjoy. But I think it's useful to remember that they were people and that they led their ordinary life day to day. This was pointed out to me by their charming nicknames for each other, the casual names they used to call each other. To each other, they were friends. So the first thought I would like to introduce here that is related to that last video and their story is the fact that we live our lives in the present. The past and the future don't exist. With respect to the past, we can attempt to rewrite our past, or we can attempt to overcome things that happened to us in the past and build a better life. But in reality, the past is just a historical record. It doesn't exist now. The future doesn't exist yet. We can do things to build a better future, but we do that in the present. In previous videos, I have talked a lot about habits, using habits to successfully acquire a new language, in this case, English. Habits are very powerful, but they have their other side. I would offer that our beliefs and our habits can very much limit us. Benjamin Franklin said something about just that. Benjamin Franklin said that bad habits are like chains that are too light to feel until they are too heavy to carry. I like that, because habits create cumulative effects. I didn't sit down to make 500 videos, but my habit of making videos regularly has resulted in a video library for this channel of more than 500 videos, totaling more than 170 hours. That was the result of beliefs and habits. However, if I had a different habit, for instance, scrolling for hours each day on the internet, spending hours of each day on social media, I would have nothing to show for it. I would have no product created by that effort. As I consider this topic of our beliefs and our habits perhaps limiting us, I advocate that we just give some thought to what we believe in and what habits we allow to develop. My next little topic here is the idea that, for the most part, social media has no purpose. One stated purpose might be to stay in contact with our friends. However, often the use of social media is just a tremendous drain of our time. Because of this, I don't really use social media. I post these comprehensible input videos on YouTube, but other than that, I have little contact with social media because I don't want to invest the time into that activity. A thought I shared with you in a previous video is that the book was better than the movie. As I looked into that claim, I found a study that surveyed people on that topic, and they concluded that more than two-thirds of the people questioned on that topic said that they preferred the book. As a language learner, I don't use movies for comprehensible input. Movies tend to have a lot of chase scenes, scenery, arguments, fights, and music. Movies include a lot of elements that are not language, and often the language in movies is difficult to understand. I reserve movies mostly for entertainment. It has been suggested that in the modern era, in the 21st century, most of us are too reachable. It's too easy for people to interrupt us and contact us when we're busy doing other things or when we want to do other things. For someone in the 21st century, trying to be productive, it's a problem if we are too easily reached, too connected through social media, and too responsive to those interruptions. Now, on this topic, we have quite a bit of control. I have turned off notifications on all my devices. I have no notifications. Now, that puts the responsibility on me to check my calendar and pay attention to upcoming deadlines. If I have an event that I want to attend, I need to pay attention and actually put it on my daily schedule. But I don't use notifications to do that for me. It may just be a quirk about me. I don't want to pay a lot of money for a device that bosses me around. The other idea I would share today is that of celebrating our curiosity. I'll tell you a little story. This is the picture of a caterpillar. This image shows the caterpillar very magnified, but in reality, it's only about 2 centimeters long. When I looked at this caterpillar, I didn't immediately know what it was. I was curious. So I took this image. Later, I uploaded the image to Google Images, and asked the Google Images AI to identify this caterpillar. The result came back very clearly. This caterpillar is native to Northern California. It was described as being the same size that I observed, and other images provided by this AI matched the appearance of this caterpillar. In other words, I had a lot of evidence that the AI was telling me the truth. Why is this important? Well, AIs in 2026 tend to be people pleasers. They tend to be programmed to provide affirmative answers. They can give you a response that is not correct. So when we get a result from an AI in 2026, we should be a little skeptical until there is evidence that we have received accurate information. There is actually a technical term in AI for a problem that we see in 2026. AIs can hallucinate. They can make up things that are simply not true. Some people, when they write their prompts for an AI, say, please do not hallucinate. They put it right in their prompt. Now, whether that works or not, I'm not certain. In the case of this caterpillar, there was very good evidence that the AI was not hallucinating. The AI was not just trying to please me. It provided a lot of information that I went on to verify through other sources. When we use an AI as a tool in 2026, we have a responsibility to verify what we get from the AI. Otherwise, we may be chasing some crazy hallucination that's simply not true. In the case of this caterpillar, I verified it, and it was identified as a tussock moth. What's that? Well, it's a nondescript gray moth that lives in this area in Northern California. But it's very interesting. First of all, the hairs of that caterpillar that you saw in the picture can be very toxic and irritating. Occasionally, someone will have a reaction to the hairs of that caterpillar and wind up in the hospital. It's not common, but it has been reported. They can cause skin irritation. You don't want direct contact with that caterpillar because those hairs on the caterpillar are a defense mechanism that the caterpillar uses to ensure its survival. After this early larval stage, the larva enters the next stage, which is the pupal stage, the process of changing from the caterpillar into a pupa is called pupation. During this pupal phase, tremendous changes occur in the body of this little caterpillar, converting it into the body of an adult moth. When this process, pupation, finishes, then the moth emerges from the cocoon. The case made by the larva for its pupal form is called a cocoon. The adult moth emerges from these cocoons. Tussock moths come in two types, male and female, and they're very different. The male tussock moth is gray, it's fairly nondescript, and it's perhaps an inch or a little over an inch in length, 2 to 3 centimeters. However, the female tussock moth doesn't really have wings. The wings of the female tussock moth are vestigial. If a structure of an organism is vestigial, it's in a miniaturized, non-functional form. The wings of the female tussock moth are so small that they do not allow the females to fly. So the life cycle of this moth is very interesting. The female moth emerges from the cocoon, but then stays very near to the cocoon. This female moth cannot fly around to find a mate. Instead, she releases pheromones. Pheromones are scents that attract the mate. The male moth is drawn to the pheromones, thus they can mate and produce future generations of tussock moth. On the internet, they had photographs of the female tussock moth. They didn't look like a moth. They looked like a little glob, a little bug. I thought it was very unusual, very strange that this moth looked nothing like a moth. I told you this story because it was a process that I went through dealing with AI, gathering information, celebrating my curiosity. I was using the tools available to me in 2026. Knowing that a female tussock moth is flightless isn't a powerful revelation that's going to change my life, but it does give me a little more appreciation for the complexity of nature. Looking back, I'm glad that I saw that caterpillar on my car. I'm glad that I snapped the picture of it, and I'm glad that I took a few minutes to learn a little bit more about this. I celebrated my curiosity. I do the same sort of thing with language learning. I don't look up a lot of words, but every now and then a term, a phrase, something in my input makes me a little curious. And that gives me an opportunity to investigate a little bit. I'm always trying to understand how each language solves the problem of conveying a thought from one mind to another. I don't have notebooks full of words that I'm trying to memorize. I'm not studying languages in the traditional way with notebooks and exercises. Rather, I am occasionally celebrating my curiosity so that I can better understand how the language works. You may not agree with me on all of these points, and that's okay. It's a friendly discussion. I offer it as food for thought and as comprehensible input. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.